Our scripture reading today is taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. Let us hear the word of God. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom enters into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flatters with her words, who forsakes the guide of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house inclines unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. As far as the reading of the word of God, may the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word to our hearts. Dear friends, one of the greatest classics of English literature is the book Treasure Island by the Scottish author Robert Louis Stevenson. Treasure Island traces the story of a boy by the name of Jim Hawkins as he and his companions go searching for a pirate's treasure which was buried in a faraway deserted island. It's a wonderful story full of adventure and excitement, which probably explains its appeal, especially to young readers. Well, this morning, like young Jim Hawkins and his friends, we are going to search for a lost treasure. Only this treasure is no pirate's treasure, nor does it consist of gold coins and costly gems and pearls. It is wisdom. It is the wisdom of God. What is wisdom, you say? Well, wisdom, biblically defined, is the ability to do what is right and to avoid what is wrong in every situation in life. And as such, it is the most precious commodity we can possess. In Proverbs 8, verse 11, Solomon says that wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. And that's because when we have wisdom, we can discern between right and wrong, good and evil, and we can learn to choose the good and avoid the evil, and thus obtain the favor and blessing of God. Well, so far in our study of the book of Proverbs, Solomon has said several important things about this wisdom. In verses 8 and 9 of chapter 1, he tells us to hear the instruction of our father and not to forsake the law of our mother, suggesting that wisdom is mediated by godly parents. And then in verses 10 to 19, he warns us not to pay heed to the invitation of the gang who propose to ambush innocent passersby and steal their belongings, suggesting that wisdom will preserve us from evil. And then in verses 20 to 33, he portrays wisdom as a woman crying out in the streets, suggesting that wisdom is readily available to all, and pronouncing a curse on those who reject her, suggesting that it is absolutely essential. But Solomon has not told us where such wisdom is to be found, and how it can be obtained, and why we should search for it. He doesn't do this until we come to chapter 2. Here in this chapter, Solomon gives us a treasure map, which tells us where we can find true wisdom, which is the greatest treasure we can ever imagine. So my theme this morning is the search for wisdom. And we'll consider three thoughts. First of all, where it must be sought. Secondly, how it must be sought. And thirdly, why it must be sought. First then, where true wisdom is to be sought. Every believer must seek for wisdom. Proverbs 4, verse 7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." But you say, where can such wisdom be found? Well, most people today would say that wisdom can be found in the writings of the great philosophers, men like Plato and Aristotle, Confucius, Buddha, the Sikh gurus, John Locke, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Immanuel Kant, and others. And to be sure, there is much wisdom to be found in some of these writings, and we can even profit from some of them. But true wisdom does not and cannot come from man. True wisdom comes from God and God alone. And that's precisely what Solomon writes in chapter 2, verse 6. He writes, "For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes understanding and knowledge." True wisdom is to be found not in man, but in God. And that stands to reason. For on the one hand, man is sinful, and that means his understanding of the world around him is tainted by sin. No matter how wise a person may be in the world's eyes, he is not truly wise if he lacks the spiritual understanding that is given him only by God. What is more, God is ultimate wisdom. In Job 12, verse 12 and 13, we read these words, "With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength, he has counsel and understanding." Psalm 147, verse 5 says, "Great is our Lord, and of great power his understanding is infinite." So all wisdom, true wisdom, is to be found in God. He is the source and overflowing fountain of wisdom. And that means that if we want to be wise, and I hope we do, we must go to God. No amount of books or learning or studying will make us truly wise. Only God can do that. And therefore we need to go to him. He and he alone is the fountain of all wisdom. And what is more, we have the assurance that he will also give it. In James 1 verse 5, James says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So God will give wisdom to everyone who asks it of him. Solomon is a case in point. After Solomon had been crowned king, God promised to give him anything he wanted, riches, victory over his enemies, anything. And Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him in an abundant measure. In fact, God made Solomon the wisest man on earth. In 1 Kings 4, verse 29, God gave Solomon wisdom, it says, and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And that is also true for you and for me today. If you want to be wise, you must ask God for wisdom. More specifically, we need to be in Christ. And that's because, ultimately, all wisdom is to be found in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, Paul calls Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, he says that we who are believers are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And in Colossians 2, verse 3, he says that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so, my friends, do you desire to be truly wise today? Then you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. True wisdom can only be found in him. But we must seek for this wisdom also in a certain way, and that brings us to our second point. In order to acquire true wisdom, we must do a number of things. And Solomon mentions that in verses 1 through 4. First of all, he says, we must receive his words. You'll notice that wisdom is imparted by means of words, specifically the word of God. If we want to become wise, we must know the Scriptures. In Psalm 19, verse 7, David writes, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." The simple are made wise through the Word. But in order to know the Scriptures, we must first receive them. Now here's our problem. By nature, we don't receive the Word of God. It simply bounces off of us like raindrops on a stone. But when the Lord regenerates us, when He causes us to become born again, He breaks up the heart and soil of our hearts so that when the Word of God is sown, it takes root and bears fruit to His glory. And this, my friends, is where wisdom begins. It begins with receiving the Word of God. Secondly, Solomon says we must hide His commandments within us. That means within our hearts. Now, we hide things that are very precious to us, things that we don't want to get lost or stolen. And that's the attitude of the person who seeks true wisdom. He hides, he treasures up the commandments, indeed the entire Word of God, in his heart. That means that he values it highly. He protects it, he keeps it, he guards it with all of his might. Thirdly, Solomon says we must incline our ear unto wisdom. Now, to incline our ear towards something means to turn towards it with a view to receiving it. A sunflower loves the sun so much that as the sun moves across the sky, the sunflower moves with it. Its face is always directed towards the sun. So is the one who seeks for wisdom. He desires it so much that he searches forever for it wherever it can be found. Fourthly, he says we must apply our heart to understanding. It's not enough simply to expose ourselves to wisdom. We must strive to absorb it and internalize it so that it becomes part of us. Fifthly, Solomon says we must cry after knowledge and lift up our voice for understanding. So it's not enough just to ask for wisdom. We must, Solomon says, cry out for it and lift up our voice for it. In other words, we must pray earnestly and fervently for it, and we must do so not just once or twice, but continually. Finally, Solomon says we must seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures. Those who seek precious metals of treasure will stop at nothing until they get what they are looking for. And so it is when it comes to acquiring true wisdom. Like the man in the parable, we must be prepared to sell all that we have in order to obtain the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price. The point is, true biblical wisdom doesn't just come to us automatically. It doesn't just fall out of the sky. It must be earnestly sought. It's like a lost treasure that must be found, and we must leave no stone unturned until we have it. Well, my friends, what about you? And what about me? Do we seek after this wisdom with all of our heart and with all of our might? If so, does that manifest in your life? If wisdom is mediated through the Word, are you reading and studying and meditating on the Word every day? Are you coming to church at every available opportunity to hear the Word of God proclaimed, not just in the morning, but in the afternoon as well? Are you availing yourself of other opportunities to grow in wisdom? For example, by attending Bible studies, listening to sermons online, and reading good books? Are you also praying over what you are reading and studying, asking the Lord to apply it to your heart and to enable you to put it into practice? Unless you are prepared to put in some effort, do not expect to become wise. But maybe someone says, well, why should I bother to do all of these things? Why should I bother to obtain this wisdom? What difference will it make? How will it benefit me? That brings us to our final point, why it must be sought. Solomon mentions several benefits that flow to the one who obtains true wisdom. The first two are spiritual, the others are practical. The first spiritual benefit is the fear of the Lord. Solomon writes, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord." Now, as we've seen in a previous sermon, when Solomon speaks of the fear of the Lord, he doesn't mean that we should be afraid of God. The wicked should be afraid of God, because one day they will be judged, and if they do not repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be damned to hell. But we who are believers have no need to be afraid of God, because we have been reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. So when Solomon says that we will understand the fear of the Lord, he means we will understand that we live every moment of every day in the presence of God, and therefore we will strive to live to the glory of God in accordance with his commandments as much as we can. Now when we obtain true wisdom, we will come to understand this fear. We will come to understand that God requires of us that we live a godly life. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will also be able to walk in the way that he would have us to walk, which is exactly what we were created to do. The second spiritual benefit is the knowledge of God. Solomon writes, "Then shalt thou find the knowledge of God." Now, the knowledge of God is not just an intellectual thing, but it is an experiential thing. It's an experiential knowledge that Solomon refers to here. It's not just knowing about God, but it is knowing God himself. It is knowing God personally and intimately, like a husband knows his wife and a wife knows her husband. Sometimes people complain that they don't have a relationship with God, or their relationship with God is not what they would like it to be and not what it should be. And Solomon gives us the solution to this problem. He says, get wisdom. The more wisdom we obtain, the closer our relationship to God will be, because the more like God we will be. But there are also several practical benefits that flow from godly wisdom. The first is stated in verse 9. Solomon writes that if we possess wisdom, we shall understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. In other words, we will be able to discern the difference between good and evil, and we will be given the grace to choose the good. Now, it goes without saying that that is an essential skill, especially in today's world. Today, we are told there are no absolutes. Whatever you think is right is right. Whatever you think is wrong is wrong. As long as you don't hurt anyone, you can do and live as you please. But my friends, that is completely and utterly wrong. The fact is, there are absolutes, and they are contained in the law of God, specifically in the Ten Commandments. And the more we grow in wisdom, the more discerning we will be. Solomon goes on to reinforce that in verses 10 through 20. He begins by making a general statement in verses 10 and 11. He says, "When wisdom enters into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." So Solomon here speaks of the heart. The heart is the seat of a man's will and affections, his controlling principle, if you will. Whatever we do and whatever we say and think proceeds ultimately from our heart. And when we ask God for wisdom, he works that wisdom in our heart. That means we are controlled by a new principle. We're no longer controlled by a principle of foolishness, but by a principle of wisdom. And when we're controlled by a principle of wisdom, we will know what to say, what to think, and how to act in every situation of life. And that, in turn, will preserve and keep us from all evil. Specifically, Solomon says wisdom will deliver us from two types of people. First of all, it will deliver us from the evil man. In verses 12 to 15, he writes, "Wisdom will deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths." Solomon here describes men who are controlled by a principle of foolishness. They are evil men who continually seek to do evil. They could be a coworker who regularly tells lewd jokes and makes sexually charged comments about members of the opposite sex. They could be a neighbor who curses and swears and takes God's name in vain. They could be a classmate at school who bullies other children and who is continually misbehaving and devising mischief. They could be a professor at college or university who constantly attacks Christianity and makes fun of people who believe in God. When we possess wisdom, We will be delivered from such men. We will learn to steer clear of them and see through their lies and their deceptions. Secondly, Solomon says it will deliver us from the strange woman. We read in verses 16 to 19, "To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger who flatters with her words." Now, the strange woman is actually a woman who is married but is unfaithful to her spouse. And we know that because Solomon says in verse 17 that she has forsaken the guide or the companion of her youth and has forgotten the covenant of her God. Instead of remaining faithful to her husband, she goes after other men, flattering them with her words, enticing them to have sexual relations with her. And as such, this woman represents all forms of sexual immorality. In fact, she represents all the pleasures that this world has to offer. And sadly, many men fall for her. They allow themselves to become trapped by her allurements without realizing, as Solomon says, that her house inclines unto death and her paths unto the death, and that none that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. She promises them much, but she delivers nothing, nothing but death. And isn't that true? How many men, even very gifted, famous, and powerful men, have been brought down by sexual immorality of one kind or another, also, sadly, in the Church of Christ? Whether that's due to an affair, pornography, or getting involved with a prostitute. Even today, there are many men who are slaves to pornography, which only serves to twist their thinking about sex and make them desire something that can never be theirs. Well, wisdom keeps us from falling into that trap. Wisdom teaches us that whatever pleasure the immoral woman offers is only temporary, and will ultimately lead to our death and destruction, and therefore we should steer clear of her. Now we have a good example of that from the life of Joseph, don't we? One day while Joseph was working in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife came to him and invited him to have sex with her. Now that must have been a great temptation for Joseph. Potiphar's wife was probably a very beautiful woman. What is more, by having sex with her, Joseph could elevate his position among the other servants in Potiphar's household. But Joseph refused. He ran out of the room so fast that he left his cloak behind him. Now, that's what wisdom does. Wisdom enables us to see through the temporary pleasures of illicit sexual activity and to avoid it at all costs. Wisdom says no matter how pleasurable something may seem at the time, the pleasure doesn't last. It will only bring you down to death. Greek mythology contains references to beautiful women called sirens who used irresistible music to seduce unwitting sailors to turn toward their island. Once there, their ships would crash on hidden reefs and the sirens would eat them. Knowing this, some of the Greeks took precautions when sailing by their island. Some put beeswax in their ears so they could not hear the siren's song. A man by the name of Odysseus had himself bound to the mast of his ship so that he could not jump overboard to the island where the sirens were singing. Well, the world is like a siren's song, isn't it? It lures us into thinking that what it offers will bring us lasting pleasure, joy and meaning and satisfaction. But friends, it is not so. That song is a lie. And in the end, the world's song will only lead to our destruction and death. Now, like some of the Greek sailors, we can certainly take certain precautions. We can put filters on our internet. We can find an accountability partner. We can refuse to place ourselves in positions and places where we might be tempted to sin. But friends, the devil will find a way around all of these measures. Nor do they deal with our basic problem, which is our heart. The best way to avoid being swallowed up by the world is to ask God to recalibrate our ear. That's what the Greek hero Orpheus did. Orpheus devised a better way to avoid being eaten by the sirens. He played more beautiful music than the sirens, drowning out their song and enabling his ship to pass by their island without incident. Well, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ plays a better song than that of the sirens. And in this song, he offers the pardon of all of our sins, peace with God, the adoption of sons, and everlasting life. And he sings that song every time the gospel is proclaimed in your hearing. Every time the gospel is proclaimed, Christ himself invites you to listen to him, to come to him, to receive from him all of his benefits. And he does that also this morning. Oh, do you hear him singing to you this morning? Solomon sums up his teaching in verses 21 and 22. He says, "For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." Solomon here again sets before us two paths, the path of life and the path of death. Ultimately, however, this is a choice between Christ and the world. Christ, who is the perfect and ultimate embodiment of wisdom, offers life, but the world, which is the embodiment of foolishness, offers only death. My friend, which path will you choose today? Whose song will you hear? Oh, that we might pray for the wisdom that comes from God, that we might make the right choice. Amen. Dear friends, we always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you have just heard today, won't you please take a moment and let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth. You can reach us at 3386 Mount Lehman Road, and Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, won't you please visit our website at Banner of Truth Radio, that's all one word, banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If you would like more information about our churches, including who we are, what we believe, and where you can find a church nearest to you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. That's www.frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed on your heart a desire to help us to offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount to Banner of Truth. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Lehman Road, Abbotsford, BC, V4X2M9. Thank you for listening, and until next week, may the Lord be with you all.